Today is Reformation Sunday, and the scripture lessons are from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, and the Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Today's message is titled, Hold On to the Faith. Hear the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where, then, is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. Here ends the first lesson. Our Holy Gospel is from John chapter 8, beginning at the 31st verse. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Some here, gathered here this morning, may remember back to the year 2008, when the Impact World Tour came to Springfield, Ohio. I got involved with the Impact World Tour coming to Springfield. I became a part of the groundwork team in the community. I even helped set up the performance stage in the Hyper Center at Wittenberg. With the planning came connecting to others in Springfield, oftentimes a lot through email. And from those days of various times through the years, I've received emails as various people dig through their past email contact list to just send these broadcast emails out. I share with you this morning from emails that came from another pastor. These emails began by quoting from the TPT Bible. Now, I have never heard of the TPT Bible before. Have you heard of the TPT Bible? The first thing I did was an internet search to find out what is the TPT Bible. It turns out TPT stands for the Passion Translation. And then there's the subtitle to it, The Bible for a New Generation. I had to dig deeper. I had to know more because something was not right in the way the words were being read. What I found was that the problems first begin with it claiming to be a translation. The Passion Translation Bible is not a translation at all. The truth is, the Passion Translation is a rewording and a rewriting of the Bible to conform to a particular position. Very akin to the Watchtower Bible of the Jehovah's Witnesses, where the Scripture is reworded and rewritten to fit their viewpoint. The Passion Translation cannot even be called a commentary or even a paraphrase, as it adds to the text. As a modern person sitting down and writing the Bible to say what that person wants the Scripture to say. How? By inserting all kinds of concepts, ideas, and words that the original texts do not contain at all, nor even can give a glimmer of supporting. For example, Hina Theo Sotso. Part of, you all know that, right? Comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. You've heard it before, Hina Theo Sotso. Well, in the English it is, so that I might live for God. So that I might live for God. The Passion Translation states, so that I might live for God in heaven's freedom. It adds the phrase, in heaven's freedom. It's not there in the Greek. And there is absolutely no scriptural reason to have that phrase there, in heaven's freedom. Another example, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. So Philippians 1, 1 begins, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. In the Passion Translation, that simple set of words becomes, my name is Paul, and I'm joined by my spiritual son Timothy, both of us passionate servants of Jesus, the Anointed One. Then in verse 2, Paul says, grace and peace to you. Where the Passion Translation goes and says, we decree over your lives the blessing of divine grace and supernatural peace. Those are just a few examples of the inserting and rewriting as the Passion Translation does. It's not a faithful rendering of the Greek. Unfortunately, Bible Gateway has added to its available translations of the Bible the Passion Translation. Well, Bible Gateway might as well now add the Watchtower Bible, the Book of Mormon, and other things, if that's the way it's going to go, by including the Passion Translation. So after learning more about the Passion Translation, I returned back to that email that began with quoting the Passion Translation, quoting it as anyone would quote Holy Scriptures. So my ears were pricked to be very wary of the content of the email. And the content of the email was about a joy meter. Yes, a joy meter. And how to evaluate one's own personal joy by using verses in Philippians chapter 4. Read these couple of verses from Philippians 4, and next you diagnose your joy on the scale of 1 to 10. Mind you, those verses were from the Passion Translation, which is no translation. So after reading that Passion stuff, you're supposed to next diagnose your joy on a scale of 1 to 10 using these three areas. What is your peace? Is God's power released in you? What is God's provision for you? And then you depict the lower score and then ask these three questions regarding the lower score on your scale of 1 to 10. What is destroying my peace? Where do I need a miracle? What is causing anxiety with my finances? And then it gives this final direction to pick one and say, God, I cast this anxiety unto you. I need help. Allow me to have your peace, or allow me to have your power, or allow me to have your provision today! Exclamation point. Now, I ask you, does this truly comport with the faith? Another email a few days later, same person, came with a statement, how we formulate our prayers enable answers. Let that sink in. It's really stating around how we formulate our prayers enables answers. And then reading on a little farther has this phrase, you pray general to specific to abundance. Again, I ask you, does this comport to the faith? Are you able to discern the difference? Is these emails that I've received, that I just shared briefly with you this morning, do they hold to the teachings of Jesus? Jesus said, hold to my teaching. Hold to Jesus' teaching and show you really are his disciples. And there's a reason for it. And Jesus gives you the reason. Yes, there is a reason. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free! To be free. Free from sin. That is what Jesus is teaching here. For anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Yet if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Being set free from sin! Exclamation point. What sets all this up, this free from sin? What is the statements of Christ Jesus that puts these things, these thoughts into place? He begins by saying, hold to my teachings. Hold to my teachings. But that phrase, hold to my teachings, is set off with a conditional conjunction. The conditional conjunction, if. If. It's sitting there right in your lap. If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. What will you do with this if? If you hold to my teachings, if truly my disciples you are. That if is what these things pivot about. No sitting on the fence is permitted. Either one holds to the teachings of Jesus, or one does not hold to them. The if, this if, is for you, for me, for all people, as we can all respond to the if, to hold to the teachings of Jesus. Or we can let them slip through our fingers and out of our life, like lifting a handful of sand and then spreading the fingers and letting it all slowly sift through and go away. Hold to my teachings. From the Greek, a better translation is, abide in my word. Abide in the word, because there's a definite article there. And then the following, the word logos, word, is another definite article. And then the emphatic, personal, possessive pronoun, my. So there's a few more words in the Greek that can be, it really can't be translated in the English in Greek word for word order. But there at the end of the phrase is an emphatic possessive pronoun. And that emphatic possessive pronoun talks about the word logos. Word. My word. Hold to my word. Is what Jesus is declaring there. Jesus is the Christ. Abide in Christ's word. Christ Jesus is emphatic about abiding in his word. Not any word. He's emphatic about it is my word. This word Jesus is so emphatic about is because his words are the Father's words. As these verses from chapter 12 of John will help you make the connection. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me." And then John chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say, and how to say it." Let me read that again. From chapter 12 of John, starting at verse 49. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And then you can go early in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave him this answer. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Or John chapter 5, verse 24. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Holding on to, abiding in the words of Jesus, abiding in his words, brings you life. Eternal life. And it reflects, it shows, demonstratively shows as valid, reflecting the genuine reality, you are Jesus' disciple. What this means is that you no longer are free to do your own thing. You're not free to do your own thing. Being the disciple of Jesus and going your own way and doing your own thing are incongruent. Just not possible. One either walks alongside Jesus or one walks another way. And that other way gets farther and farther and further away from Jesus. For being a disciple of Jesus means that you are his follower who learns the truth of the scriptures and walks in that way of life. Live the lifestyle that the scriptures require. The proper instruction, catechism from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, which is his word, will be necessary follow through with life application. What would you think? What would you think of a pastor who says, "I don't believe the Bible is the only source through which we hear or experience God"? What would you think of a pastor who said something like that? If the Bible is not the only source, by what source do you measure what you hear or measure what you experience? How would you know what you hear or what you experience is of God without the Bible as the only source? Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Or Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Those who hold fast to the word of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, abide in the word of the Lord. Answer, the Lord created all these things, and all of creation proclaims the glory of the Lord. Yet those who don't abide in the word, such as pantheists, Wiccans, nature worshipers, they will answer differently. They may even answer it as this Harvard professor postulates, that our universe was created as an alien lab experiment. And by the way, that's their chair of the astronomy department at Harvard. says, all the universe was created as an alien lab experiment. Never mind begging of the question, well, where did the aliens come from and where did their lab come from? Without the Holy Scriptures, how does one come to know, come to recognize the living God? When you buy a gallon of gas, you want to receive your gallon of gas. The gas pump is checked and certified to provide precisely the amount indicated. The pump conforms to the standard. The gas pump does not set the standard. The pump is set to be the measured standard. Likewise, our life experiences are measured by the Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures dictate our condition, and direct what we must do. Our life is set beside the five solas of the Reformation. Do you remember the five solas of the Reformation? Those five foundational solas of the faith? Sola Scriptura, God's Word alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. Sola Gratias, grace alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone. Sola Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Sola Scriptura, Latin for Scripture alone, one of the five solas of the Reformation, and the doctrine that the Bible is the ultimate authority in all matters of faith and daily life. The Holy Scripture is the avenue to get to know God through reading His Word and learning of His character, His nature, and thusly, we become to understand our life experiences through the lens of the Word of the Lord God Almighty. Thus Christ the Lord Jesus says, hold to my teachings. Hold to my Word. Emphasizing that emphatic possessive pronoun, my. These words, hold on to them, for they are of a different category. They are the very words of life. Words that set you free from sin and give eternal life. Those who reject the word of the Lord do so they can reject the absolute authority of the word of Scripture, enabling them to justify their liberal, progressive, moral, and cultural positions that are diametrically opposed to the very word of God. They cast off the authority of Scripture over life so they can do as they please to please themselves in manners that God's Word declares ought not to be done. Thusly demonstrating the truth, man's nature is sinful. I ask you, with the new X designation of U.S. passports, and that person gets lost and needs to be found, do you look for a male or do you look for a female? Do you see the disaster of the marking of X? No, let's look for the place marked X and find the treasure. You see the absurdity of what's happening these days? Man is sinful. Left to our own devices, we are lost in sin. As Romans chapter 3, verse 23 rightly declares, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This sinful nature of man, through the years, has caused the church to wander from the ways of Christ by adding layer upon layer of man's thoughts, man's ideas, and man's understandings of the Scripture. And the years of piling up and building up upon one ecclesiastical decree after decree, such that man thought more about what man wrote about the Word of God, and what man wrote about the Word of God came to be more important to the practice of faith than what the Word of God actually teaches. What happened is through the years, the quoting of statements of the church was more common than returning to the Word of God and quoting directly from Scriptures. And that is how indulgences came to be. by the quoting of previous councils and popes and ecclesiastical decrees, building up layer upon layer of obscuration such that scriptures are not even seen anymore. And that's the setting Luther stepped into. I enjoy the movie Luther, released in 2003, for it gives a good insight into the historical context of the Reformation. There's one scene. Luther is deeply troubled, extremely troubled by all he had seen and heard and experienced in his trip to Rome. Johann von Staupitz decides to send Luther to Wittenberg to study. And in the scene, he asks Martin if he's ever read the New Testament. Now, mind you, he's been a monk for years. And he asks Martin, have you ever read the New Testament? Luther answers, he has not. And he's been a monk for years? Not many have, says von Staupitz. But in Wittenberg, you will. Luther was being sent away to Wittenberg for a doctorate of theology. But more importantly, Luther was being sent to the source, to the scriptures, to Christ himself. To the scriptures Luther was sent. Hold to my word, Jesus Christ says. There in the word, through study and prayer and digging through the clutter that had built up over the years of ecclesiastical teachings, Luther grabbed hold onto the source. And there he grasped onto Christ. Finally finding that freedom his heart was longing for. Years of study and then this experience in the tower when the words came alive from Romans chapter 1 verse 17. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. And those very same words are echoed in the words of our lesson this morning from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that come by Jesus Christ. I share these with you this morning, especially from those emails, so that you have a desire to dig deeper for yourself in the Word of God, as von Staupitz sent Luther to read the Scriptures and dig deep for himself. Eventually, while Luther was hiding in Wartburg Castle, fearing for his life, he begins to translate the Bible into the German language so the people could read for themselves the love Christ has for them. Luther wrote the small catechism so moms and dads could teach the faith to their children in their home. Luther found that understanding the most fundamental portions of the faith were lacking from the presence all the way into the pastors and priesthood alike. How can you teach the faith if you don't know the faith? Even the opponents of Luther welcomed his catechisms for teaching the faith. Here from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is challenging as we live in a time that plays loosey-goosey with the truth. We live in a time that says truth is what a person feels inside, is subjective, is subject to revision according to one's own feelings, because we are growing in enlightenment. Truth is what a person declares inside themselves for themselves. Or truth is decided at the ballot box with the majority vote. Or, well, on the contrary, truth is the Word of God. As Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. Such is the time we live in. Makes it hard to hold to the teachings of Jesus. Such a time makes it hard to hold on to the faith. Yet consider the faith that Luther brought back to the forefront in the church. Christ crucified paid the price in full. the finished work of Christ on the cross paid the redeeming price in full. There is no work for one left to do. Christ has done it all. The just will live by faith. Holding to Jesus Christ's word, holding to the word, is the key to holding to the faith. Don't be tempted by word of faith preachers, like those emails that I read to you earlier, portions of. And don't be tempted by a book professing to be a translation of the Holy Scriptures lead you astray, like the TPT Bible. Don't be tempted by prosperity gospel preaching and promising blessings, promising you your best life now. If you know Christ, your best life is yet to come. Life with Christ forever. As it's written in Romans 3, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory in God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Christ Jesus, the atoning sacrifice, paid the redeeming price in full. This is the faith. Hold on to the faith. Hold on to Jesus' word. Read it. Dig into it. Discover the wonders of Jesus' word for yourself. You will come to know and experience the truth that sets free, for you will meet and encounter the Son. The Son sets you free, you will be free and done, free indeed, and it's done by Christ and Christ alone. This is Christ's word. This is Christ's word. The Son sets you free, you will be freed indeed. Hold on to the faith. In this, you will find true freedom and life everlasting. Hold on to Christ's teaching. Hold on to the faith. Amen. And amen.